DevOps Shorts, the show to listen to when your DevOps hurts. And even when you're going strong, it's short and sweet, so come along.
Hello, folks, and welcome to another episode of DevOps Shorts, the show where we invite wonderful human beings to have a lightning-fast conversation about devs, ops, and other mythical creatures. The show where each episode lasts only 15 minutes, and we only ask three questions. Why? Well, so it's short and sweet. That's what makes it short and sweet. And why? Well, it's because great delivery comes in small batches. We all know that. And today, I'm very happy to have Jonathan Hall with me. So, Jonathan, in your bio, it says that you're a DevOps coach on a mission to bring enterprise DevOps benefits to small teams. And we'll, of course, be happy to hear about more about that. And that you have over three decades of experience in software development, two decades in technical leadership roles. And you're also a regular blogger on topics of Agile and DevOps principles. And that's great, of course. And you also dance salsa and you're based in Amsterdam.
That's all correct.
So how are you today?
I'm very well, thank you.
Wonderful, happy to have you. And let's go straight into our three questions. Wonderful. So the first question is, as usual, about love. So I have this assumption that everybody who comes to the show loves what they do. I may be right, I may be wrong. You'll be the one to tell me if that's true. Usually everybody says they love what they do. So the question is, why? Why do you love being in IT? What's there to love about this? And I hit the timer and go.
Thank you. I love this question. I think I was 8 years old when one night I was sleeping in my bedroom, which was next to the family living room, and my father was playing on our Commodore 64. He was a writer, so he used it mostly for word processing. But this night, he made it make some weird noises. It was beeping and chiming and everything. And I woke up well past my bedtime. I knew I would get in trouble, and I walked in and said, "Dad, what are you doing?" And he said, "I'm programming the computer. You can look at it tomorrow. I'll go back to bed." From that day forward, I was going to the public library, and this was before the internet, of course. I was checking out books from the public library on basic programming for the Commodore 64. I just loved making the computer do stuff. It would follow my instructions if I could just learn its secret language. And ever since then, I've been fascinated with programming, and that that love has grown into a broader sense of just how software delivery works, how people interact with computers, with technology, and make computers and technology do things. I love it.
Okay, so yeah, back in the days of Commodore 64. But has anything changed in that relationship with the computers over the years?
What hasn't changed? Things are much more streamlined, a lot more efficient nowadays. There's still room to improve, of course. But that same love of just making technology do my bidding, that love is still there. That's what makes me excited about IT. I don't know what else I can say.
Okay. Yeah, making machines dance. I love exactly. This analogy. Yeah. Wonderful. Okay, so that was short and sweet, and we have more time for the blitz questions in the end, and we'll go straight to our next question. And that question is about DevOps. This show is called DevOps Shorts for something. And it's about the DevOps aha moment. So in the DevOps book, DevOps handbook, the authors talk about their DevOps aha moment, that moment when they realized that the way the things used to work in IT 10 years ago, that way sucked, but there was a better way, and that way was DevOps. The whole DevOps revolution started, and now we're hopefully better off. Now, what was that DevOps aha moment for you? Was there such a moment? Maybe a number of moments. Would like to hear the stories about this.
Yeah, I think it's hard to look back at a specific moment. I think it's like when you're driving from one city to another, eventually you cross a state line or a country boundary. Maybe you didn't notice when you crossed it, but you're definitely in the new country, the new state now. It was kind of like that for me. You know, there was some point when I look back, like I'm doing DevOps now. I don't know exactly when I changed, but I can definitely point to one story that was very pivotal in my DevOps journey. I didn't know DevOps. I don't think DevOps as a term existed yet when this story happened. But I think it was in 2006. I had just started at a new company. We were doing spam filtering, and we pushed out a release that broke every customer's server. In retrospect, it was a simple break. It was a permissions bit. We forgot to set the execute bit on a script. But the lessons from that experience, they're still with me. I think a very simple way to look at that sort of scenario is, okay, how do we make sure that we don't break the permissions bit again, and maybe add an extra test at the end or have a human do some extra testing. But what I like to take away from this story is that the fact that the permissions bit was wrong means a systemic problem existed. And I think DevOps really helps us to focus and get into what broke in the system that we can fix to improve this. In that case, we had a really complicated release process. We had manual tests going on, actually we were manually creating zip files to upload to FTP servers. You know, it was a completely manual process. And I like to apply, I look back at this as sort of an example of the wrong way to do things and don't do that anymore. How can I say that? That's probably the closest I have to a moment, even though the light went off in my head maybe a couple of years after that story took place.
Mm-hmm. And when was the first time you heard the term DevOps, and when you realized, oh, that's what I've been doing for a couple of years now?
Yeah. So there's actually two answers to that question. The first time I heard the term DevOps was a few years later at the same company. We introduced a DevOps team, which did operations for us. Okay. Now looking back,
I realized classical anti-pattern.
exactly. So looking back, I'm like, that wasn't actually DevOps. So it was probably in the last 10 years or so that I look back and realize. DevOps is not a team. It's more like cooperation. I mean, if you could replace the word DevOps with cooperation and it makes sense, maybe you're on the right track. But a cooperation team doesn't work in my mind. Those are the two answers. I heard the term a few years later. I heard it incorrectly, the anti-pattern, the famous anti-pattern. A few years after that, I realized that was wrong. DevOps is actually pretty cool. It's a good way to think about things. And yeah, that's what I dedicate my career to now.
Mm-hmm. And when did you make the switch to becoming a DevOps coach?
That's a great question. I've been doing DevOps coaching stuff, even in my day job, for the last 5 years or longer. So I've been helping the teams I work on to adopt CI/CD patterns, to do shorter iterations, to, you know, true continuous integration, in the sense of merging multiple times a day. I sort of branched out on my own about a year and a half ago when I started doing this for clients. And that's where I am now.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. That's an important job you're doing.
Thank you.
Solving pains, real pains for real people.
Yes.
Wonderful. Okay, we still have some time left over from this question too. And without further ado, let's go into the future. There is my favorite question now, because it's concerned with the future. I like to call myself a software delivery futurist, whatever that might mean. And now is your opportunity to tell us what you think the future holds for DevOps, for IT in general, for the humankind.
Okay.
go wild. Any vision you have in your head, you know, being a coach, you're responsible for, you know, setting the goals, for taking teams forward. What's that forward? Where are you taking your clients?
Great. So I think our industry, maybe most industries, but this one in particular, works on a long time frame in the sense of we get some good ideas. Maybe Agile was a good idea, for example. But it takes a decade or two decades before those good ideas start to become mainstream and people really pick up on them. And of course, by the time they start picking up on them, then somebody does the wrong thing and they start doing these anti-patterns like DevOps teams. But that's a good sign. That means people are picking up on the idea, at least, even if they don't quite get it right. So I think the future holds a lot of the things that these big companies, Google and Netflix and Spotify, they keep talking about these great things, bleeding edge Kubernetes and just new ways of doing Chaos Monkey and all these great technologies. I think they're amazing. I think in 10 years and in 20 years, they'll become more attainable for smaller teams, the kind of teams I work with. So that's what I'm looking forward to is I'm looking for Chaos Monkey as a service that I can subscribe to for $29 a month for my small team to start using with three developers or something like that. I think that'll be great. And we see it happen all the time. It's happening with Kubernetes now. Before that, AWS, even before Kubernetes. These big companies have great, amazing ideas. Somebody figures out how to distill those into the core essence and package it so that small teams, maybe even a solo project, an open source project, can start using these techniques without being so-called rocket scientists. So yeah, I need to keep talking so I hear the gong at least once, but that's my short answer already. Maybe I'm too good at delivering in short, compact segments.
That's important. That's great delivery, certainly. So something like, you know, what platform as a service was envisioned like, you know, a great platform for everybody to use without any special knowledge, without very high investments in making this platform scalable, reliable, resilient, et cetera, something like that.
Exactly. I know we'll get there.
And do you see glimpses of that? Like, okay, you're saying, okay, it's easier to roll out Kubernetes now because, you know, cloud providers do that. But then you're running your own apps on Kubernetes. You're more or less on your own now.
It happens from different angles all the time. I mean, just Kubernetes as a service is one example. But then you also have just new frameworks coming out that make writing a REST API or a microservice, you know, gRPC is a good example, Protobuf, you know, there's little bits of technology all over the spectrum that contribute to this vision I have of big ideas being accessible to the little team. I see it happening in every way, not just as a service, also new libraries, new platforms, new frameworks.
Do you think serverless is anywhere on that spectrum?
I'm sure it is. I don't know where. Serverless still has a lot of hype around it. It makes it hard to tell what's really valuable there and what's just exciting because it's geeky.
And what it really is.
And what it really is, yeah.
Too much buzz.
Exactly. Yeah. So I know that something's going to come out of that, but it's too early from my perspective, it's too early to say what's going to be the holding power of serverless. I know it will be there in 10 years, but I expect it will look different than we expect right now.
So what do you see today as the largest enablers of small teams that you're working with?
The main things I see right now are services like GitHub and GitLab that provide a sort of
Here's the gong.
Okay,
wonderful. We've hit the gong on that, and we still have a minute and a half for blitz questions. Okay, so the usual. First of all, I ask everybody who comes on the show, would you or do you invest in cryptocurrency, and would you recommend to invest in cryptocurrency?
No.
Okay. Everybody says no. That's wonderful. You would expect of, you know, tech geeks to be more enthusiastic about this.
I have used cryptocurrency to transfer money internationally, but not as an investment.
Okay, I see. So what do you think is the most exciting tech outside of information technology?
Personally, space exploration. And I don't mean human space exploration, but sending probes to other stars and new telescopes. That's fascinating. It's not very practical, but I love it.
Mm-hmm. What fascinates you about space?
Everything. I could spend an hour talking about this. I used to lie in the backyard with my dad and look at the stars, and he'd tell me how many millions of light years away those stars are, and I was like, that boggles the mind. So just learning about space, about stars, exoplanets, All okay. that stuff fascinates me.
Enterprise or startups? Where would you rather work?
Enterprise. Yeah. I heard you say enterprise. I'm thinking the Starship Enterprise.
Yeah, because we're talking about space. Exactly.
Startups. I prefer startups.
Okay. Why? And we've hit the gong. So actually, I think the answer is quite understandable, but that's, you know, we'll leave it to listeners' imagination.
That's right.
Thank you, Jonathan. It was so much fun having you.
Thank you so much.
Short and sweet. Thank you for listening and watch out for new episodes of DevOps Shorts.